صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل.
الحمد لله. It's a great privilege, it's a great blessing from Allah that you are connected with this idea of Sayyidul Shuhada and this great movement which has been going on in the whole world. Just take a break.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
صل على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
Yes. This is a great point that you and I are joining this great movement. Alhamdulillah, you can see around the world how in every city and at every center people remembering the sacrifice which was given by Sayyidul Shuhada. And you are not alone whenever you... When you say something about Sayyidul Shuhada, it is a process continuing since so many centuries, and you can easily see the impact of this great movement. Every coming year shows you new realities, new dimensions, and Alhamdulillah, it is spreading all over the world. But besides this blessing from Allah that we are part of this movement, and beside this privilege, I think we should concentrate upon what we should have learned from this movement, what we should have achieved, what are the objectives. This should not be something very simple, going on for 1400 years in every part of the world, in every language. Every race, every culture is gathering in it. So there should be something. It should not be just a memory from past. It should not be just an event passed in the history. History is full of events. And you see how many of them got killed at that moment. There were most probably 72 or more or less. In fact, no one has mentioned them. More than 200. Some of the scholars have said that it was not exactly 72, but not more than 200. So with this little number of people got killed there, and so many dimensions, what are the responsibilities? Sometimes I do think that we are doing this job, but we don't know the exact meaning. We don't know the exact path which we have to follow. Alhamdulillah, we have some of the sentences which are showing us what are the directions. But unfortunately, the attentions are not there. So, the beautiful sentence in Ziyarat and in Duas, Ya Laytani Kuntu Ma'akum Fa'afuza Ma'akum. This is, I think, one of the strategies of this Azadari, of this great movement. I think it shows that you should not stay in the past. You should learn from the past and you should go ahead and make your future, develop your future. And what is your future? Ya laytani كنت معكم فأفوز معكم. I want to be a successful person. I want to get prosperity. And what is the way of getting success and prosperity? Follow the path of Imam. Now, in general terms, we do accept these realities. We do accept these claims. We want to follow the path of Imam Hussain. But how should we do this? I want to be part of the army of Imam Hussain. I wanted to be there. I wanted to serve him. But of course, this is not going to happen now. This is not going to happen that Karbala comes again and you become part of the army of Imam Hussain. So what is the purpose of this saying? Ya laytani kuntu ma'akum fa'afuza ma'akum. I think we should select one of the characters of the army of Imam Hussain. I think we should look at ourselves and we should compare our character with those characters, and then we can define us. How can I be part of that great army? So you have there Alaykum As-Salaam, you have there Habib ibn Mazahir, you have there Muslim ibn Awsaja, you have there Hazrat Ali Akbar, you have there Hazrat Abbas. So each one of these characters have their own specifications. They have their own characteristics. So if I am saying Ya laytani kuntu ma'akum fa'afuza ma'akum, and this is my desire to be in the Karbala, so just compare, I should compare my character with one of those at least, and then I should ask myself, which one of these characters I want to be? Which one of these characters I would like to replace and to be there? It should not be a desire only without meaning. It should be a strategy for myself. So I think what we should do, we should get an analysis of these personalities, see how come they become part of Imam Hussain. So what was the kindness, what sort of character was in Hazrat Hur, how he became part of Imam Hussain? There were so many enemies. There were, I think, more than 18,000 of them. In between 18,000, a character changed himself, and at the last moment he decided to go the side which I don't think any of the army commanders would prefer to be there. But he went there. So what was the fundamentals of his personality which made him make this decision? And can I find these personalities in myself? If I cannot find these qualities in myself, then I don't think this would be a good desire. صلى الله على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
So I always think that we should get an analysis, and this analysis should lead us towards these characters, and not only the characters of army of Imam Hussain. We may look at the other side too. You have some very cruel faces in the army of Yazid. And cruelty which cannot be imagined. And how come they did that with innocent people, with that child, with those youth, those who were famous for their kindness, those who were popular for their faith, and everyone was aware that they were close relatives of the Prophet. So how come they did that? What was the fundamentals in their personality? What was the ground on which a personality like Umar ibn Sa'd created, and he did what he did? So I think there should be a comparison between these personalities, and when I compare them and I get the true picture of their personalities, not only the names, whether life is just a name, should go in depth and see what made Abdullah bin Ziyad, Ubaydullah bin Ziyad. So after getting all these, I can ask myself, which path I am following in my life. So there are two certain paths. There should be two certain paths. First one of haq, or the right path, and other one is batil, or the incorrect, the way which is going to lead us to towards destruction and towards the hell. So there should be two separate paths. There should be qualities, there should be characteristics which should be different from each other, and it should be very clear for me. So what will be the benefit? So you start your day in the morning and you saw one of the characteristics in yourself, you may ask yourself, was that leading me towards enlightenment? Should I adopt this habit, or should I adopt this way of life, or should I change this? So the word, the sentence, Ya laytani kuntu ma'akum fa afuza ma'akum, the desire to be with Imam Hussain, should come into our life. It should not be a sentence only said just in ziyarat or in dua. It should be a practical strategy of our life. And I think when we act upon these sentences and we do two things in our life. First, get a true picture of the Battle of Karbala, two armies, two characteristics, and list them if we can. We should list them. We should list the kindnesses, or we should the characteristics of Imam Hussain and his army, and the personalities. I think personality of Hazrat Abbas Alamdar is quite different from that of Hazrat Muslim bin Ausajah. There are two personalities, and each one has its own role. So Zuhair bin Qayn is quite different from Muslim bin Ausajah. And Masalan, for example, we can say Muslim bin Ausajah is quite different from Hazrat Ali Akbar, and Hazrat Ali Akbar is quite different from Hazrat Qasim. Each one has its own role. So list them, what were their roles and how they performed that, and then go to the army of Yazid, list them. I think there is difference between Shimr and Umar ibn Sa'd. Shimr was something else, and Umar ibn Sa'd was a character undecided, always confused and deciding in between the right and wrong, which path I should go, and always making the wrong decision, going towards batil and going towards hell. So if we do two things, first list the characteristics, list the qualities, and second, always remember this in your mind when you are making decisions. What we are actually, what we are in our life. I think if I say our life, the whole life is only decisions and nothing else. Our decisions. What make us in this shape or that shape? Only our decisions. So if you are here and you are, for example, studying something, or you are doing a professional life and you have got success, and for example, someone else failures, what made all these characteristics? Just a few decisions. So you made a decision 10 years back when you selected your professional life, or you selected your course of studies, and you became this. And if someone else had decided something else, he will go the other way. So we are just decisions and nothing else. Perceptions and decisions. How you perceive the world and how you decide on any turning point. And if you have the analysis of these two armies, characteristics, personalities, their way of living, how they decide, how they used to decide in their life, then you can become one of those two armies very easily. So you will make the decisions which will lead you towards Imam Hussain, or otherwise, na'uzubillah, someone make the other side decisions going towards the other side of the army. So I think this should be a continuous battle. It should not be for 10 days. Unfortunately, when we see at Azadari how it's happening here, it happens for a few days, and it gives us some sort of inspiration and some sort of movement in us. But then after a few days, we came back to our life, and unfortunately, not that impact we get from this Azadari. So how we can make it permanent, and how we can make it revolve or evolve our life? I think if we get the decisions from their life, and we try to implement those decisions in our life, then we can move. And as I always ask myself, you have lived one more year, remembering Imam Hussain, saying I want to be with him, have you become something closer to Imam Hussain after 1 year? So I think there should be practical questions in ourselves. There should be practical implementations of all these remembering of Imam Hussain and his sacrifices. Though this is good, we sit here and we ask Allah to give us some sort of sawab and some sort of jaza on the Day of Judgment when we will be there. But it should change ourselves. And the more important point, I think, not only individuals should change. There is an objective which was left alone. Why Imam Hussain came to that ground of Karbala? Why, in fact, they started battle? Why did it that? Why all of those Aima sacrificed their lives? Why everything? Because they had an objective for humanity. Because they wanted to lead them towards prosperity. So has humanity reached that prosperity? Not yet. It's very clear. And I think if you go and make a survey of all the humanity living on this earth and ask them, are you satisfied with the current position of humanity? I think very clearly, almost all of them will say that we are not satisfied. So everyone thinking we are not satisfied, this is not the path we should have followed, but they don't know how to follow this. And Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with the name of Imam Hussain, with his path. So this is the objective for humanity. Imam Hussain had a target, an objective, which is not yet fulfilled, but they have promised us that, okay, our son will come, and he will fulfill those promises, and those objectives, inshallah, will be achieved. So I always do think that a follower of Imam Hussain has a past, which is Karbala, and has a future, which is the appearance of Imam Mahdi. So we have a beautiful past. We are proud of it. Those sacrifices, that show of great level of humanity, which you cannot find anywhere. The kind of humanity which was shown by Ashab Imam Hussain, it was marvelous. So you have a beautiful past. You can learn from your past. And then, don't stop here. Move yourself towards a better future. And what is that future? His son will come. And you have to be a part of his army. And you have to assist him. And when I say army, it is not necessarily with a weapon. It is not necessarily in a war. Though it may be, but okay, an army can be of intellectual people. An army can be of people working for other humans' welfare. So you should be a part of his movement, and here you can learn it. So just what we need to do, inshallah, and we'll try to do that in the next days. Today we have very few minutes left. So what we will do, that we will get an analysis. We will see how these personalities were developed. So inshallah, we will try to understand what made Hazrat Abbas this great character. So we can say bravery, we can say loyalty, we can say sacrifice. So how do you want to do this? I always think, will I get a chance to be in front of Yazid saying, I will not bow my head against you? I don't think a Yazid will come here and will ask me to give my bayat, and I will say, I will refuse you and I will not do this. I don't think this will happen to me. So what all these sentences are? Ya laytani kuntu ma'akum, and I want to be one of the companions of Imam Hussain. I think this is Karbala, which is happening in our life. This is Karbala. So Karbala is, we are not going to go back to the Karbala in 61st Hijrah, but this is our life, which is Karbala. So tomorrow you have a Karbala, very small Karbala. What is that? Will you wake up for prayer? This is my Karbala. I have two options. First, bow my head against the desires as someone has bowed his head against Yazid. So if I could not resist, I could not go against that, in fact, I have taken one step towards army of Yazid. And if I could fight myself, And I said, no, I will do what my God has wanted me to do. What Allah has wanted me to do, then okay, this is the first step which will lead me towards the army of Imam Hussein. So every day you have Karbala. Now you can, now we can understand. Kullu yawmin ashura wa kullu ardin Karbala. So there is no battle everywhere. How can one say kullu yawmin ashura when there is no battle? Wa kullu ardin Karbala. Karbala is a certain geography which is in Iraq. And of course, Oslo is not Karbala. So how we say kullu yawmin ashura wa kullu ardin Karbala? Because the essence of Karbala is everywhere. It is in your life. So you are in the shopping center, and you have to be careful. You should not get the, you should not be flown into the wave of this capitalism. But if you could resist, then this is your Karbala. Make good decisions, because you are only your decisions and nothing else. If I had a chance, na'uzu billah ta'ala, to cheat someone, and I did that, this decision will make my life. We are only decisions. And kullu yawmin ashura wa kullu ardin Karbala teaches us to make good decisions. Always make good decisions. And this you can do by getting lessons from personalities of Karbala, their characteristics. And the last point which I would like to say, that no one can achieve any objective without hard work. This is impossible. If I want to be a cricket test player, I want to work hard. I should work hard. Without doing this, how can I be in the list of 11 players without doing hard work? So if you want to be one of 72 among hundreds of thousands of Muslims, can it be achieved without hard work? If you just want to be a test player, if you want to represent your country, you need to work hard. And you have millions of people waiting for this job. And you want to get this trophy in your hand. So you need to work hard, and you have to sacrifice a lot of things. And now, if you want to be a companion of Imam Hussein, if you want to be companion of Imam Zaman alayhi salatu wasalam, if you want to do something which Allah wanted you to do, so will it come very easily? Will it come without sacrifice? How can it be? Someone told me that if you want to get expertise in a game, you need a trainer. If you want to get expertise in a game, you need to practice it. And you have to spend your time. Every week, so many hours you have to spend. And we want to fulfill all those great promises without spending time, without sacrificing anything, without, for example, pushing us towards the right path. I don't think this is going to happen. So we need to do something. We need to plan us. We need to make us go into the planning, which we will prepare, looking at the personalities of Karbala, inshallah. But from tomorrow, we will try to explain one of these personalities. Every day we will try to explain one or two personalities. And in fact, behind these personalities, there are characteristics which will help us to become companion of Imam, inshallah. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
I think we will finish it here. And if you have any question or suggestion or anything you want to share, then you please go ahead.
As you can see today in Oslo, we don't have any proper mosque. We have like 10 Husseinias or even more, and many of the youth, they don't care about, because of these cultural issues. Mm-hmm. People have established new mosques or new Husseinias, or because of they follow that marja, that particular marja, or the other marja, they open new mosque as well. Mm-hmm. But the youth, they don't care about this issue, and the youth, they want to join together. Okay. How can we use the message of Imam Hussein and his great sacrifice to fulfill this, this journey?
I do think when you have a greater objective, smaller things become very small for you. And you can ignore those small problems, little problems. Just for example, if you have a journey to follow, you are on an expedition and you have 20 kilometers, 25 kilometers to follow, and you have a cut on your finger, how much attention will you pay? You will not pay any attention. You'll say, okay, I can handle it because I have an objective, a bigger objective to follow. These differences of opinions, which somehow become a hurdle in our way, become a hurdle when we don't pay attention to our higher objectives. If mosque is the objective, then it will destroy us. We should have higher objectives. What are you looking at? What are your objectives? So, if you are looking at humanity, a building cannot be an objective for you. It is always a way to go. So, we should differentiate between the objective and the path to follow. You have certain paths and you have one objective. So, you can change your paths according to the conditions, circumstances, requirements, but you cannot change your objective. I think the main problem was, which I just told you, people not looking at higher objectives. They're not very much clear about it. Or we can say they have not tasted the pleasure of those objectives. They somehow do think that if I could establish a mosque, this will give me a satisfaction. They don't know if the whole humanity could become on a single platform, how much pleasure it will give you. So, being deprived of that greater pleasure made them stuck to that smaller pleasure. So somehow open the window and let them feel the difference. Let them feel the real pleasure of that life. Now these are, you may say, words only, but how you can do this? Go into discussion, make them clear for them. Somehow it happens. If a child came to you and said that, okay, someone have, for example, broken my toy, and he is somehow crying, and you will sit with him or her, and you say, okay, how much you are expecting that toy to come with you? Do you really need that for your life? And you ask some questions, and all of a sudden you see that child is getting the point. Okay, now he's not crying. Why he was crying just 5 minutes back? Because it was not clear for him or her. So let us make ourselves get the meaning and then try to understand others, that essence of reality. And somehow it is not necessary to make everyone understand. I think sometimes it is good to leave a few people doing their job. Okay, they cannot make any hurdle in your life. What I could understand from my experience and experiences of the people much better than me, that if you are focusing on a certain target and it is only because of Allah, then no one can stop you. You will follow it. There will be problems. Look at Karbala, there were problems in the part of Imam Hussein. He sacrificed everything, but at the end, who got the stand? Who got the name? Who got the fame? And who got the power? Yazid was looking for allegiance of a few hundred thousand people. Now look at Imam Hussein. After 1400 years, everyone wants to become Imam Hussein. So, this is very easy. You focus on your objective, make other feel the difference, try to make them understand these minor things are not the objective, they are just the path to follow. And if someone could come and understand, this is very good. If he could not, then I will say to myself that, okay, I could not make him understand, but he cannot stop me. I will do my job and Allah will help me. Tansurullah yansurkum. And as you said, youths are very important. Youths are very important because they are almost ready to get the reality, because they are not, you see, stuck in any of the limitations. They are open to in their mind. So you can have a discussion with them, an open discussion, and then you will see that greater objectives are easier for them to understand. They can leave so many things. Inshallah. Inshallah, tomorrow, inshallah, we will continue. صلى الله على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.